Hey there, misfits. This is Kate.
And this is Kevin.
Welcome to Horrorwood.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Maybe I'll keep your intro.
No. That's fine.
That's very loud. Let me turn you down.
Starting hot.
Hot mic. I believe we have some people to shout out right now.
We do. We have two new Patronians.
Welcome.
Misfit Murderinos. We have Kate.
Hi, Kate. Thank you so much for joining the Misfit Murderinos. We super duper appreciate you. I think you live in Japan.
That's amazing.
Which is super awesome. And I'm pretty sure it's the same person because I messaged with her before she joined and we talked a little bit about Japan and I was just like, I want to go there. But I've never been. But yeah.
I've never been to Japan either. I've heard really amazing things though.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone's like, no, go. Totally.
Yeah, I really want to go. And if, Kate, you're not the Kate that I messaged with who lives in Japan, ignore all of that.
But Kate and I, this Kate and
yes.
I, still want to go to Japan.
Correct. And then we have Laura Pony.
We were on a website that was how to pronounce it.
Because Laura lives in Ireland. Which is crazy. Just crazy to me to think that like people that are far away actually listen to us.
That's amazing.
So thank you so much for signing up. It means a lot to us. We super duper appreciate you. And honestly, it's how we're able to keep this going. So
yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
And Kevin has a story to tell
us today. I have a story today. It was interesting. I had never heard of this person before. And I think that I'll just pull away a little bit.
Oh, okay.
I think I was probably too close.
Then I need to come back to you.
House
we're
here.
Just adjusting some
we're
sound
just
up
making
in here.
Some adjustments, making sure it doesn't sound like I'm screaming.
On the inside.
On the inside and the outside. this guy that I researched today is, his name is B.H. DeLay.
Okay.
And he was an aviator. He was big in the Hollywood movie industry as a stuntman.
Awesome.
And basically, like, kind of was one of the ushers of airplane stunts in movies. It had never been done before. He was like one of the first people to do that.
That's cool.
Which was really cool. So but he might have, we'll get into it.
Okay.
Let's just start.
I already feel on the edge of my seat.
Beverly Homer DeLay.
I love everything about that name.
I do too. I love the name Beverly.
I do too.
Bev.
I've never heard it for, it's a male?
He's a male. Yeah.
I've never heard that name for a male and I like it.
I feel like... Isn't there a character on Will and Grace, the character that... What was his name? Leslie Jordan.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
He played a character named Beverly. Mm-hmm. I think that's the only other time. Vastly different types of people, just FYI, I think. I don't know. I couldn't find any videos. Obviously, he's in movies,
but
not like... This was all before 1927 when there was sound in films. So... Beverly Homer DeLay.
Love it.
Known as BH.
What's up, BH?
BH was a pioneer. That almost sounds like bitch. BH.
It does. Didn't intend it to.
That's amazing, Kate. BH. He's amazing.
Okay.
Was a pioneering aviator nicknamed Daredevil DeLay.
Oh, I do like that nickname.
I like Daredevil.
I love an alliteration. Just the sigh of Kevin.
Audience acorns and new. I don't know. That's the only three A words that came to my mind when I tried to make an alliteration. And it didn't make any sense.
Okay.
It's raining outside.
It is raining.
So his daring stunts and innovative contributions to both aviation and the film industry certainly left a large mark on American entertainment in the early 20th century.
Great.
just a heads up here, and I mentioned this before we started recording, there's not a ton about his like growing up life.
Okay.
Or like a biography or anything like that.
That's unfortunate.
B.H. DeLay was born on August 12th, 1891, to Charles Young DeLay and Matilda DeLay. I couldn't find her maiden name.
Okay. I do love the name Matilda. I don't know why I say this a lot in episodes. I'm like, oh, I love that name. And I'm sorry, everybody. I see how that's annoying because I just annoyed myself.
Don't annoy yourself.
I try not to. But I do love the
Matilda
name Matilda.
Matilda is a great name.
It's awesome.
There are plenty of different spellings of it. There's that little girl in France who went to school. Isn't that Matilda?
I don't know.
The cartoon?
I thought that was Madeline.
Oh, that is Madeline, not Matilda. Matilda is the movie with...
It's the Roald Dahl story.
The Roald Dahl story. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking of the movie that was popular.
It's also the name of Kaylee Cuoco's daughter.
Oh.
Isn't it cute?
Did you see the musical, Matilda?
No.
I didn't like it. I'm so sorry. I know that's a very unpopular opinion.
We're all entitled to our own opinions.
You'd think. So yes, DeLay.
Kevin, are you growing up?
I am, finally. Aww. They dropped. It only took 36 years.
Sorry, everyone.
I'm so sorry.
It's the
you guys.
Morning.
This is what happens. I need to.
Kevin
you know,
hasn't had a sip of coffee yet.
I haven't. And so I'm powering through on pure adrenaline.
Yeah. And you're doing an okay job. Not great, but you're doing okay.
Thank you, Kate. But you know, I strive for okay. So yeah, he was born in Alameda, California, within the San Francisco Bay Area.
Okay.
He pursued his education at the Engineering School of the University of California, Berkeley, UCB.
Okay.
Which also confuses me when I see UCB because it makes me think of Upright Citizens Brigade, which is that different things, people.
Different things.
Separate them. And furthered his studies at the University of Heidelberg in Germany.
Oh.
Oh.
What brought him there? Is that like a big flight
engineering
school? Okay.
No, because he wasn't into flight
yet.
Gotcha. He was an engineering person.
Okay.
He was fluent in French.
Mm.
DeLay's linguistic proficiency stemmed from his family's French heritage.
It's okay, Kevin.
Yeah.
Some people have that in their bloodline.
Sucks to be them. Particularly on his mother's side.
Okay.
Which traced its roots to Alsace-Lorraine, France. A town in France. It's interesting to note here that BH's family were apparently heavily involved in the arts.
Oh, good.
Yeah. No, this is very cool. His family's entertainment legacy, which stretched back generations.
Wow.
Encompassed stage actors, dancers, musicians, and just general theater people.
Awesome.
Theatrical juggalos.
I love that.
That's a 30 Rock ref. Hey. His grandmother, Babette Waddell.
You know what? I was just getting ready to say, I love the name Babette.
You haven't realized. You're like, Babette.
I gotta stop.
BB. Was renowned as a premier danseuse. I did look up how to pronounce that.
And what is that?
I will tell you.
Thank you.
A prominent female dancer in a French ballet company.
I assumed it was something along those lines.
She performed at big venues, including the... Now, it's either going to be Maguire or some French pronunciation that I don't know how to say.
Okay.
So I'm just going to say Maguire.
Okay.
Theater in San Francisco. His aunt, Emma Schutz, made her mark as a stage actor, while his uncle, Eugene Schutz, emerged as a theater impresario in San Francisco.
Ooh.
An impresario means that he was, at this time, basically like a producer.
Yeah.
I looked up the term, and it dates back to being used a long time ago in Italian opera as someone who organizes lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
Despite the upheaval caused by the 1906 San Francisco earthquake, which damaged theaters frequented by DeLay's family, they were still super committed to the theater scene. Like,
awesome.
There was that big earthquake in San Francisco. It destroyed a ton of shit.
Yeah.
But they were still like, no, let's get back into it, rebuild it, and keep going as
That's
arts
awesome.
People. Good for them. Another one of his uncles, Louis Harrison, I assume it's probably Louis, but continued to shape the theatrical landscape on Broadway, actually. Hey. So I did a little bit of research on Louis Harrison, okay. Who's interesting. So Louis Harrison was born in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, in 1859, and was a prominent figure in the world of stage acting and musical theater. Hmm. He began his career as a child actor in Philadelphia's Walnut Street Theater and Art Street Theater,
oh, cool.
Later joining a touring acting troupe led by Louisa Lane Drew. Throughout his more than 40-year career, Harrison co-established theater troupes, starred in successful farces and comic operas,
wow.
And collaborated with notable figures in the industry. He worked alongside renowned composers and playwrights to produce memorable productions, including Prince Nam or A Trip to Venus, not familiar, and The Princess Nicotine.
Oh, that sounds bad.
I don't think at the time it was.
Probably not.
But today, Princess Nicotine is dead.
I would imagine. It sounds like the name that you would name a cat. Princess Nicotine.
Love that.
Here, Princess Nicotine.
Princess Nicotine, come get your cigarettes.
Yikes. Don't feed cats cigarettes, guys. I mean, don't feed cats cigarettes.
And if you do, what the fuck? Harrison's contributions to the theater extended beyond the stage, as he also directed plays and contributed lyrics to various old-time musicals.
Oh, wow.
His Broadway career saw him in a diverse range of roles for comic characters and musical comedies, operettas, and revues.
He's just doing it all over
there. He's in it. To win it.
Yeah, he is.
His final appearance on Broadway was in the Earl Carroll Vanities.
Oh.
In 1930-31.
Earl Carroll. We've talked about Earl Carroll because there's the Earl Carroll Theater in California.
In Cali.
Well, not anymore, but it was.
Lewis Carroll. I almost said Lewis Carroll.
Oh, that's a different person.
That's a different. Louis Harrison passed away in New York City on October 23rd, 1936, leaving behind a legacy of remarkable performances and contributions to the arts. Good
nice.
For him.
Nice.
And thank you, Louis.
Louis Lewis.
Okay, so back to DeLay.
Mm-hmm.
He initially embarked on a career. This is where we kind of jump. He was a child. He went to Germany, got his degrees. Now he's back in California. And he initially embarked on a career as a gold miner.
Oh.
Right? A gold mine manager, to be exact. Following in the footsteps of his father, because his father went into gold mining as well.
Gotcha. I was like, that's a jump from...
I mean, yeah, I hear that. I think also, like, that probably contributed to his fascination with, like, engineering
yeah.
and mining at that time. I could see how that would feed into
okay,
one another.
I see that.
DeLay's trajectory soon shifted from gold mining towards the realm of speed and thrill.
Mm. Seems like a logical journey to take.
Yeah. What's that? Isn't there a ride at Disney that's like the gold mine rush or the gold rush? Or maybe I'm thinking of something else. I remember going to a theme park when I was a kid and it was like a mine ride and the coaster was like, it looked like a mining cart.
Yeah.
And you would go through the mine.
You know what it reminds me of is in that movie Casper with Christina Ricci when
yeah.
she was little. And they have that little like cart that they get on.
Yes. With the
I wanted one of those so bad. I was like, how do I get one of those in my house? Mom.
Well, we can work on it now, Kate.
I mean.
Let's build a roller coaster up from your office
sure.
down to the closet.
Let's do that.
Wee.
Amazing. With all our cash flow coming. It just
immediately
crashes.
Breaks. We both get injured. Worth more than it's, or yeah, there's a saying there.
that you can't
That
think
I can't
of.
Think of. He transitioned from gold mining to being a race car driver.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
Loving the speed, loving the thrills.
Yeah.
He had this intense, daring spirit and theatrical flair, of course.
Okay.
In his high-speed race moves, he frequented the Pickering Pleasure Pier, another alliteration for you, Kate.
Love that.
In Ocean Park, California. In 1914, DeLay entered into marriage.
The way you said that, he entered into marriage. Sounds very transactional and formal.
Like a marriage.
True.
I'm sorry.
I guess you're right.
That's awful. He married Juanita Carmen Smythe.
Okay.
Who hailed from a literary lineage that boasted luminaries such as Canadian poet Bliss Carmen, Canadian poet and prose writer Charles G.D. Roberts. G.D. makes me think of Goddamn.
I know. That's immediately what I thought.
Goddamn Roberts. An American essayist, Ralph Waldo Emerson.
Oh, hey.
Hey, there we go.
He was a relative of hers?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Their union bore... Okay, I don't know why I wrote this in a weird way. They had two daughters. I wrote their union bore fruit in the form of two daughters.
That's so weird.
I know. I don't know what the fuck is wrong with me. God.
They had two girls.
They had two girls.
Okay.
And their names were Patricia and Beverly DeLay.
Ah, all right.
Patty and Beverly. So the Beverly DeLay found her own footing in the world of the entertainment industry later in life as part of the Meglin Kiddies dance troupe.
Oh, okay.
And alongside the iconic Shirley Temple.
Get out.
Get out of town. They were dancing it up.
That's awesome.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
And I don't know why I said later in life. I mean later in her childhood, I think. Obviously,
okay.
She wasn't like a grown woman dancing with Shirley Temple.
I mean, she could have been.
Maybe. We'll find out.
Or I mean, I think we just did find out because you just told us.
So DeLay then turned his focus to flying and aviation. He liked the race cars. He liked the fast shit. He was an engineer. I think he kind of wanted to get up in the air at this point. Mm-hmm. So he started, learning how to fly planes.
Would you ever want to do a flying class?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
I would never do that. That scares the shit out of me.
Yeah.
And my uncle Kenny, who's passed on.
R.I.P. Kenny.
Yeah, was a pilot.
Oh, wow.
And I don't remember exactly where. I know he was in the Vietnam War and was a pilot there.
Wow.
In that. And then he was like a commercial pilot in West Virginia. And I think everybody's dead in my family now, so I can't go back and like ask them about this
because
it's there are interesting stories about people that he flew, like famous people back and forth.
Oh, yeah. That's cool.
Well, that goes nowhere.
Okay,
so,
okay.
I mean, let me.
Could have been cool.
Could have been cool. And I knew when I was 20 years ago. Fuck. Whatever. I do remember him telling my mom stories of his pilot friends who had like seen UFOs, like in the sky. And they would just kind of, it wasn't really like a super spoken about thing.
Of course not. Yeah. And that's so intriguing to me. Matt and I just started watching a series on Netflix. I think it's called Unexplained Things.
Yeah, I've been watching that.
We've only watched the first episode about the UFOs. And it's wild.
Did you see the Unsolved Mysteries episodes?
Where they were in the car and then they switched. Yes. If y'all haven't seen it, you need to
fascinating.
Go
the
watch
one
that.
In Michigan, like on the Michigan coast, was so interesting to me.
Was that the one where
they were taking water up into the?
Yeah. Crazy.
I love it. So his career as a pilot began with a fervent enthusiasm for flying, and he quickly rose to prominence, as a daredevil does, as a daredevil aviator.
Oh, okay.
Captivating audiences with his spectacular aerial maneuvers and thrilling air show demonstrations.
I was going to say, was he doing a bunch of air
shows? Yeah, he became a pilot, went into aviation, and then was like, fuck yeah, let's do these tricks. Let's see what these planes can do. Because I'm an engineer, bitch, and I know what they can do.
This is Kevin on No Coffee, and it's really something.
I'm sweating.
I am too, actually. It's hot in here.
For some reason, I knew it was going to be. I was like, I'm just going to wear a t-shirt today instead of my normal sweater. That's okay. It's cold outside.
Are you okay?
I'm fine. I just had a moment.
Okay.
His repertoire included a wide array of stunts, from nosedives and barrel rolls to loop-de-loops and mock battles.
I don't think I could ever ride in a plane that is doing that. That would freak me out.
That high in the air?
I am curious
yeah.
about what it would feel like to be in a plane that does a barrel roll,
yeah.
like that goes upside down. And I don't want to ever experience it
yeah.
myself, but I'm curious about
no,
what that
I
feels
get,
like.
I understand that feeling. What did I watch recently? The the plane movie with Tom Cruise and Lady Gaga sings.
Top Gun?
Top Gun. Yeah. Maverick. And they, you know, they always started out with like up in the air flying mm-hmm. and doing and going weightless and zero G's.
Yeah.
I think that's what they call
sure.
it.
Sure. Sounds good.
It would be interesting to feel, I think.
Yeah.
But I don't know that my mind would like be able to let go of the fact that you're thousands and thousands of feet up
yeah.
in the air and you're just going so fast.
I don't want to experience it.
Skydiving. Is
nope.
it the same? Okay.
I'm a big nope on that. I could not do it. But I've had plenty of friends that have done it. It's not for me.
So if I ever had to do that,
in what scenario would you have to do that?
I don't know what the scenario would be, Kate. Life is a mystery.
It truly is. Have you done iFly?
No, what's iFly?
It's the indoor skydiving.
No.
Now that I've done and it was awesome.
Is that where you go in the tube and
yeah.
you fly up?
You
on
have
the...
to like jump into it mm-hmm. and you're like, you just jump into air and then they tell you like how to turn and do all that stuff and it's awesome. And they give you a video at the end to show you your skydive.
Oh my God.
Now I can do that all day long.
That
it's super
like fun.
Fun.
Okay.
It's really fun.
Let's look into that.
Okay.
All right. Delay. Yeah, so Delay even set up America's first aerial police force, showcasing his innovative approach to aviation.
I didn't even know that that was something that existed, an aerial police force?
An aerial police force in California at this time. Okay. Interesting. So in 1920, Delay took over as the general manager of the airport in Venice.
Okay.
A Los Angeles beach resort.
Yes.
Which at the time, it's known as Venice Airport now, but it was originally known. Okay, I'm having a meltdown. Give me 2 seconds. I'm so
okay.
sorry. In 1920, Delay took over as the general manager of the airport in Venice, a Los Angeles beach resort. And that airport was originally known as the Ince Airfield, I-N-C-E.
Oh, like Thomas H. Ince.
Thomas Ince. Yep, exactly. Delay was driven by a mission to elevate passenger service to unprecedented levels of perfection and safety. He was like, I'm a daredevil, but for other people that are going to do this, let's make it safe.
Okay.
I don't want to take their lives in my hands.
That's nice.
His initiatives included the establishment of the first lighted airport in the United States.
Wow.
At Delay Airfield, making a milestone in aviation history. So I think we have to think at this time, like this is the early 20s,
mm-hmm.
like late teens. Aviation is still a new sort of thing.
Sure.
And as, you know, commercial flights and passenger planes, like that's not really gaining a ton of,
yeah.
of popularity until like the 50s and
okay.
60s. Remember when I talked about the Queen Mary and how like, you
yeah,
know, the ships
yeah.
thing and the whole thing of it being retired was because at that time, like
planes
in the 60s, planes were like the way to go now.
I was getting ready to say planes were really taken off.
Ugh.
I'll see myself out.
Sorry, I just had to break away.
I understand.
No, it's fine. I love it. Yeah. So lighted airports, police, all kinds of cool shit he was doing.
He was an innovator.
He was like, let's regulate this. Proposing swift aerial response equipped with flotation devices.
Okay.
He did. I don't know why I'm talking like Yoda.
Aviation
he does.
Thrills he seeks.
Thrills he seeks. Police he employs. Let's move on.
Okay.
You know, great stuff, cool things, flights, fun, airplanes.
Got it.
By mid-1921, much of his income came from providing planes and pilots to Hollywood.
Okay, here we go.
Here we are. Delay's involvement in numerous movies, both as a pilot and a stunt coordinator, helped shape cinematic aviation sequences and propelled him to further fame and recognition.
Yeah, I'm sure it did.
He set numerous aviation firsts for the motion picture industry with all of the stunts that he was performing on film.
That's awesome.
They hadn't been done before. So he was totally a pioneer in the stunt world in Hollywood.
Can you imagine like being one of the crew members on that set and then suddenly this guy like goes up in a plane and starts rolling it over and over and like doing crazy shit and you've never seen that before?
I'd be screaming at the top of my lungs.
I would be terrified. I'd be like, he's going to crash into us, clearly.
He's going to die.
Oh,
like
my
tears
God.
Running down my face. At the same time, BH and his... I love saying that. At this same time, BH and his wife, Juanita, were having a tough time, unfortunately.
Like financially or...
No, a relationship-y.
Oh, okay.
A foreboding classified advertisement made its appearance in the Vanguard newspaper, ominously titled, "To Whom It May Concern."
This is in the classified ads?
Yes.
Okay.
It read, "From this date, September 3rd, 1921, I will not be responsible for any bills incurred by Mrs. B.H. DeLay." Signed by B.H. DeLay himself. He petty.
Oh, shit.
He petty.
Eek. Who just airs that laundry out
I
in
mean,
the classified
he's
ads?
Being a bitch.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Like
he was being a BH.
A BH.
Living up to that name.
Living up to... Come on, Bev. Get your shit together. The notice hinted at underlying tensions.
Well, I would say so.
No shit, Kevin. within the DeLay household. They were going to divorce.
Aww.
Divorce was on the horizon.
The horizon.
During his divorce proceedings with Juanita DeLay, BH chose the path of public scrutiny.
Well, it sounds like it.
This decision culminated in an announcement published in the Venice Vanguard about the divorce. They're getting divorced. Things like that at the time were like public consumption. You
I was
could just
gonna
put
say,
any shit in the newspaper you want to do.
Yeah, newspapers back then, it was like the gossip column.
It was like, Juanita DeLay and B.H. DeLay's marriage is over.
Yeah. Gotta let everybody know about it, I guess.
Yes. Subsequent legal filings concerning their divorce laid bare the turmoil of their material discord. Sad.
This is sounding sinister.
Originating from Oakland, both Juanita and BH had exchanged vows back in 1914 in Martinez. And of course, they had their two daughters mm-hmm. as well, Beverly and Patricia.
Mm-hmm.
But as BH's fame ascended, as he got more popular,
ugh.
The foundation of their relationship basically just crumbled.
That is shitty.
He initiated divorce proceedings.
Because he was feeling like all like hot shit?
Citing mental cruelty as grounds. Lamenting, among other grievances, Juanita's alleged failure to prepare a meal for visiting relatives.
Shut the fuck up.
Ooh.
Patricia, is that her name? What's her?
Juanita.
Juanita. Juanita, get him out of there.
Yeah.
You don't need that.
She didn't make me dinner.
I hate it. My mind. Ugh, I can't go on.
And
everyone must know about it.
I have to go fly my plane. So because she didn't prepare that meal for the relatives, Matilda had to step in.
Matilda is his mom.
Mother.
He's bringing his mom into this shit?
Yeah, she had to intervene, as recounted by local press reporters.
On his side or her side?
His side, of course.
Ugh.
In retaliation, Juanita countered by asserting that BH was neglecting the alimony payments owed to her.
Hmm.
That happened. They got divorced. Don't have anything else on that.
Okay.
Sucks. Throughout his illustrious 10-year flying career, DeLay embarked on aerial escapades with a diverse array of personalities. Yes, his personal life is crumbling, but he's also like doing all these stunts with a bunch of famous people in movies at the time.
So yeah, he feels like hot shit.
He feels like hot shit, for sure. From politicians to opera divas.
Oh.
You know, his promotional endeavors ranged from dropping event tickets. He would also do promo things
okay.
for like events in Hollywood.
So
like,
he dropped them from his plane.
Yeah, yeah. He would do cool shit for Hollywood events.
Got it.
Or like arts events.
Sure.
Because, you know, the arts at this time, booming. Yeah, so he would drop tickets, conducting aerial mapping missions, all while showering the sky with symbolic tributes like masses of flowers honoring war heroes.
Oh.
So he would do a whole bunch of different stuff.
Yeah.
Notably, DeLay's involvement in Ormer Locklear's aerial funeral procession underscored his integral role in Hollywood's aviation narrative. Ormer Leslie Locklear was an American daredevil stunt pilot and film actor.
Oh, okay.
So he was also a person doing the same thing at this time. And so looks like he passed. The last stunt scheduled for filming for the Skyway Man.
Oh, we're going to do an episode on the Skyway Man.
Oh, really?
It's a whole thing.
Okay, yeah. Then I won't go further into it.
Yeah.
Recognizing the demand for skilled stunt pilots in Hollywood, DeLay established a movie stunt pilot training school at his airfield in Venice.
Okay.
Cultivating the next generation of aerial performers.
That's cool.
Over the course of his career, DeLay collaborated with over 25 motion picture companies, including industry giants like Warner Brothers, Universal, and Fox. Director Cecil B. DeMille learned to fly at DeLay's Venice airfield.
Oh, okay.
In a spectacle aimed at propelling Venice into the spotlight as an entertainment hub, DeLay dazzled audiences with a mesmerizing night loop-de-loop fire ride.
A fire ride?
Complete with fireworks adorning his plane's tail.
Oh, my
goodness.
He was goodness.
Spinning through the air as just sparks went off on the back of
lighting off fireworks?
Yeah.
This feels really unsafe. It feels unsafe.
I mean, that's being a daredevil.
I guess.
Daring the devil. As he was doing this, this was against the backdrop of 20 Navy destroyer ships illuminating the horizon.
Oh, my.
It was like a magnificent
scene. It sounds like a
spectacle. Yeah, exactly. DeLay's foray into the realm of motion pictures saw him actually portraying aviator roles and executing daring aerial stunts, both in comedies and dramas, during the golden age of cinema. Among his notable achievements, DeLay performed at least 6 groundbreaking stunts for the silver screen, including the inaugural transitions from plane to train and train to plane.
So, like, a person...
jumping on a plane from a train and then jumping from a plane to a train.
Oh, my goodness.
He also stunned audiences with more innovative feats, such as seamlessly moving from saddle, horse, to plane.
And how does that even happen?
I don't know.
Just, like, throw a
And the thing
rope
is, like,
down?
It's not easy to, like, find these movies anymore because it was so long ago and they weren't... They're not, like, long feature films. A lot of them are shorter ones.
Mm-hmm.
Like, shorts. I could have just said shorts. Also, oh, this is so cool. I mean, not cool. Interesting.
Okay.
Notably, DeLay made cinematic history by being the first to demolish a building using a plane on screen.
Do we know what film that was?
I tried to figure it out. Oh,
okay.
I think it might be called The Bellboy.
Okay.
But I wish I knew.
Yeah.
I really wish I knew. Because I, like, even on IMDb of these things, there's not a lot of information on them. And I was trying to, like, find it, and it's not.
Yeah, sometimes it's hard, like,
it's so hard to find these old movies. Yeah, and, like, you'd think as part of, like, cinematic history, they would be readily available, but.
Well, the way that film was shot back then doesn't last, and so.
So they just go away.
Based on, like, climate or anything can actually, like, melt the film or. Essentially destroyed.
And if things are digital,
down.
It's probably easier for them to like perish, more perishable, right?
If they're not digital,
Right, exactly.
Okay, Because, a lot of films were destroyed back then because they weren't kept in the correct conditions. And the type of film that it was. We talked about this. Matt was on this episode where we talked about the silent movie theater. And like a lot of films, why they don't last.
Why they don't last.
Yeah,
well,
so it's like why there weren't. As many silent movies, like, they just don't exist.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense. Also unfortunate, because I would love to see this, but... So, in this scene, he had to rescue the heroine of the movie from the pinnacle of a burning building while simultaneously crashing into the structure.
Oh, my.
It wasn't, like, a full build. This was a...
Like a facade?
It was a set.
Okay.
Like... The daring feat was executed very carefully thanks to a sturdily constructed setting at the Venice Field.
Okay.
So they built it there and then crashed it.
Yeah.
So at this time, he's also becoming like a sought-after actor as well.
Wow.
Who graced the screens of numerous motion pictures, mainly from being a stunt person.
Sure.
But I think he was kind of making that transition from stunt person to being like...
The
on-camera actor.
I feel like it was only a matter of time because it's so... You know, ingrained into his family's history.
Right. And he has the background, I'm sure. So he was starting to make an, like, outside of being a stunt person, like, make a name for himself as an actor. His contributions to the film industry were further recognized by luminaries like Jack Warner, who lauded DeLay as, quote, a real flyer of unparalleled skill and professionalism.
Wow.
And he worked with people like Ruth Roland, Oliver Hardy, and Viola Dana. I don't know who those people are, but I think they were big film stars at the time.
I mean, I know Hardy, but I don't know the other two.
Yeah. I know there's not a bunch out there, but I found a list of all of the films that he... I'm not going to read all of them, but just go through a few because you can't really see them anymore.
So let's tell everyone what they can't see.
Get ready, y'all. Listen to this list of shit that you're never going to be able to watch, bitch. Skin Deep, Border Scouts, A Dangerous Adventure, The Bellhop, which is the one... Oh, not The Bellboy. It's The Bellhop.
The Bellhop, okay.
Bad. Fighting Fate, Skirts, The Baby, A Western Tenderfoot, Ruth of the Rockies, Go Get It.
Go Get It.
Aeronut.
Oh.
That sounds like a porn.
Yeah, it does.
He Married His Wife.
That's the name of the film?
Yes.
Moving on.
All right, I'm done with that. And lots of stuff. Okay, I can't laugh now. However, tragedy struck on July 4th, 1923.
Oh.
When DeLay met his untimely demise at the age of 31.
Oh, did not realize he was this young.
Yeah. In an airplane crash while performing at an air show between Venice and Santa Monica in Ocean Park, California.
Oh.
He was with fellow aviator R.I. Short, who was the president of the S&D Corporation.
Okay.
While executing a loop-de-loop maneuver in his aircraft, the Wasp... which was,
that
the,
was
name
the name
of the
his...
aircraft,
oh, okay.
The Wasp. Disaster struck as the wings abruptly folded back.
Oh.
Sending them hurtling nose first into the ground. The ensuing inferno engulfed the wreckage and they were killed instantly.
Oh my goodness.
The discovery of substandard pins in the wings, measuring only 3/8 of an inch instead of the required 1/2 or 3/4 of an inch, strongly suggested foul play through wing tampering.
Oh.
Multiple newspaper headlines from Venice and across Los Angeles at the time pointed to sabotage as the cause of DeLay's demise.
Why would anyone want to sabotage him?
We'll talk about it.
Okay.
Turning his death into an enduring unsolved mystery. In the days leading up to the fatal crash, DeLay narrowly escaped another brush with death when he was targeted by gunfire at Clover Field, which is now Santa Monica Airport. Prior incidents also hinted at foul play, notably a legal skirmish in September of 1921 that involved DeLay and seven others. The dispute centered around this guy, this dumb bitch named C.E. Frey, who was claiming ownership of the DeLay airfield. At the time.
Whose name is on the airfield, idiot? It's not yours.
Right. Leading to his goons planting obstacles on the runway to impede aircraft takeoff. So Frey was alleging that DeLay's lease had expired and he was the rightful owner. He's like, no, your lease is expired and it hasn't been renewed. And so I am the owner of this place.
He just like walked in and was like, you know what? I own it now. This is mine.
Yeah.
We're going to rename it.
Exactly. Despite DeLay's efforts to remove these obstructions, Frey's gang escalated their interference by digging trenches, further jeopardizing flight operations. I tried to look more into Frey.
Uh-huh.
There's not much there. Part of me believes that maybe, I don't know if he had previously owned it or was leasing it out to DeLay.
Wondering.
It sounds to me, and this is just me guessing because I couldn't find it anywhere.
Okay.
That Frey was probably leasing it to DeLay or was part of the company that was leasing the airport to DeLay.
That would make more sense.
Which would make sense to me because you can't just walk in and be like, I own this fucking airport. I think he had to be somehow involved.
Got it.
In the airline, or not the airline, the airport, and said, no, this is mine. Get the fuck out. And DeLay was like, no, I'm not doing that. Like, what the fuck? What's wrong with you? Like,
yeah.
So... despite DeLay's efforts to remove the obstructions that Frey's goons like put out, they tried to sabotage the airport. They went in and like dug trenches.
Feels like the opposite when you're trying to claim it's your airport. Like, why would you?
They were trying
to
kick him out and like basically like get him to fuck up by like crashing an airplane or like.
This is wild.
It's crazy, right?
Men. traps when you mayor dicks around.
Ugh, and digging trenches with them.
Yeah.
DeLay took legal action by filing for a temporary restraining order against those seven individuals, which included C.E. Frey. Frey asserted his claim as the rightful operator of DeLay's Venice Beach Airport, contending that DeLay's lease had expired, which I said, thereby entitling him to assume control. So this is a quote from the Vanguard newspaper regarding the situation. Quote, the field remained under the sole possession of B.H. DeLay until last week, when C.E. Frey reportedly initiated steps to displace the aviator following an alleged acquisition of the property. DeLay alleged that these actions included the unauthorized introduction of aircraft onto the premises, and upon DeLay's refusal to vacate, the placement of obstacles on the runway by Frey's associates, which what we were just talking about. Enraged by these developments, DeLay sought recourse by filing for that restraining order, and he also demanded $10,000 in damages. He was like, you're fucking up my shit.
Okay.
Like, you're over here because you think you own this place.
Yeah.
And you're making a mess. So he was like, restraining order. Pay me $10,000 for the shit you did wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is fucked up. What's wrong with you guys? The media did not extensively cover the outcome of this legal maneuver. It appears that DeLay succeeded in obtaining that restraining order, thereby retaining control of the airfield.
Okay.
Consequently, it seems that C.E. Frey's aspirations were thwarted, and Frey eventually ended up in jail. I don't know if it was for this. I think it was probably for something else. I think this guy was a thug.
And now he's going to be real pissed.
Yeah. So during the investigation of the crash that killed DeLay, a female bystander who began capturing photos of the fiery wreckage reportedly had her camera seized and the film was destroyed, fueling further speculation surrounding what was dubbed the inaugural murder in the skies by the newspapers.
Oh, who seized her camera?
She doesn't know. Nobody knows.
Oh, so it was stolen from her.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It sounded like police wanted it
for
evidence.
No. It wasn't police that did it. I think whoever was there trying to get the footage was somebody on Frey's team.
Frey's team.
Most likely.
Sure.
Who probably was acting as an officer or mimicking an officer and seized her camera from her. Like, we have to take this from you for evidence, but he wasn't a cop.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Obviously, I can't go into super detail because, again, there's not a bunch of shit out here about this. Regrettably, the inferno obliterated whatever scant evidence remained for investigators to scrutinize.
Ugh.
While it was conceivable that a burgeoning aviation tycoon might have accrued adversaries en route to success, authorities ultimately failed to substantiate any allegations of homicidal intent in the aircraft's tragic demise.
Damn.
Aviation experts found themselves divided in their assessments. DeLay's aircraft was equipped with wings designed for straightforward flight, not the intricate maneuvers that he was executing at the time. Despite his considerable expertise, it appears plausible that DeLay encountered the ultimate limitations of his plane, resulting in the tragic conclusion. Like, the plane just wasn't meant to do that stuff.
Right.
But then again, go back to the pins. Like, the pins and the wings weren't the right size.
Yeah,
it feels like somebody pulled out the right pins and put the smaller ones in. But then again, I don't know. You know, maybe it was just a mistake.
And if C.E. Frey, that was his name?
C.E. Frey, yeah.
Why is everybody just going with their first two initials? If C.E. Frey clearly had some kind of tie to this airfield, it sounds like maybe he had access to that plane.
Yeah. Well, and they were also, like, sneaking into the airport and, you know, fucking shit up.
Yeah. Ooh.
To this day, the case remains unsolved.
Wow.
Those wishing to pay respects to DeLay's memory need only cast their gaze westward. A year subsequent to his demise, DeLay's mother, Matilda, made a poignant request to a close friend. She desired for her son's ashes, alongside those of his recently deceased father, Charles, to find their resting place at sea. Oh, westward toward the sea. That's what I meant. In a solemn agreement, the friend consented.
Can you imagine if the friend was like, nah.
Go away, Matilda. Ooh, no. That's sad. She lost her son and her husband a year ago.
Yeah.
Can't imagine. In a poignant farewell reminiscent of his aerial feats, B.H. DeLay embarked on his final journey from Venice Beach, soaring across the Pacific. Matilda stood watch from the shoreline as the aircraft disappeared beyond the horizon, bearing the ashes of her beloved ones to a point well south of Santa Catalina Island, where the ashes of her loved ones were scattered on the wind. Today, the legacy of DeLay Airfield endures as a testament to his pioneering spirit, nestled within the borders of Venice Boulevard, Abbot Kinney Boulevard, and Washington Way, a tangible reminder of his mark on aviation history. That's where the airfield was.
Okay.
Sorry, I should have said that. It's no longer, but that's where the airfield was. Beyond his pioneering spirit, DeLay was also renowned for his humanitarian endeavors, often organizing and participating in aviation actor benefits to support individuals and organizations in need. That's harkening back to those stunts that he was doing, like dropping tickets. Not only was it for big Hollywood events at the time, it would also be for like benefits for nonprofits or things that were doing, you know, good for the community.
Pretty much anyone except his wife.
Correct.
Was he taking care of his kids or did she have the kids then? Did he offer any financial support?
I don't know. Oh. I think so. It sounds, from what I read, it sounds like it, but I don't know that for sure.
Yeah.
So that is the story of B.H. DeLay, his pioneers in aviation, being a daredevil and a big, you know, basically like being the first guy to be an aerial stuntman in
That's
Hollywood,
awesome.
Creating his own airfield, opening that school, and then ultimately, you know, perishing in one of those stunts.
And so young. That
and so young,
is
he was 31.
Awful.
But a lot of people, like when it happened, they were like, his friends were like, that's weird that this would happen because it was just like a normal run-of-the-mill day with when this stuff happened. He knew what he was doing. So everybody who saw it who knew him was immediately like, this is foul play. Something bad happened. And it sounds to me like these goons and C.E. Frey, because of the lease problem, who are also probably jealous of him. You know what I mean? Like, probably wanting whatever power he had because he was making good money.
I'm sure,
as a stunt person, having this stunt school at the airfield.
Yeah, that's going to bring in some income.
Yeah, but unfortunately, he passed really young. Mm. So that's the story, Kate.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, because now when you think about like movies that have stunts in them, there are those six that you said he like created or whatever. Mm-hmm. That, you know, I'm sure we still see in movies now that we don't even realize.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So do you like to do aerial stunts in planes with your friends for movies? Tell us.
Stunts in planes with friends for movies. You can do that on Instagram.
You can do that on Instagram and
Facebook
and YouTube at Horrorwood Podcast.
Or send us an email at
horrorwoodpodcast@gmail.com.
Or be like Kate or Laura and hop on over to Patreon at
patreon.com/horrorwoodpodcast.
And don't do murder.
Don't do it. And don't do plane tricks if you can't fly planes.
For sure don't do that.
Yeah.
Like, don't try to sneak onto a plane and do tricks because it's not going to go well.
Take a commercial airline, sit in your seat, buckle your
seatbelt. Fastened.
Don't argue with people.
Put on
don't
your
argue with flight attendants.
No, they have a hard job.
They do. And sit back and relax and watch a movie.